You know, as we've been going through this series of messages that I have called Saying No to Jesus, the focus hasn't been on saying no to Jesus, it's been on saying yes to Jesus. And I got to thinking, so often we become overwhelmed with concerns or fears, especially when it comes to sharing our faith. And Bob and Judy are a prime example. They answered the call of God to go into Central America to share the good news of Christ and Him crucified, that our sin and the sin of the entire world would be erased. And we simply need to accept that sacrifice. It's such a simple message. And yet, many of us are afraid to share it. How could God use me? How could He use me? Wasn't that what Moses said? Oh no, Lord, You can't use me. I stutter. I'm slow of speech. And God said, no, I'm going to use you. And others that God has chosen throughout the years, and including yours truly. How could God use me? After all, I'm this great sinner. How could He use me? He said, well, all you have to do is surrender. And don't be afraid. And that's the message today. Do not fear. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but after that can do nothing. Fear Him who, after killing the body, can also throw both the body and the soul into hell. This is what Jesus taught. This is what He said. This is the one who said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know that phrase, do not fear? It occurs 51 times throughout the Bible. In the King James Version, it's be not afraid or fear not. And in the New King James, it's very often do not fear. Straight up command. Do not fear. And I've chosen one of the several times when Jesus said this as my text today, as I had alluded to. You know, from the start of this series, I've reminded you that Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is what He said. And it's written in 1 John chapter 2, now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. Those who say, I know Him, but do not keep His commandments are liars. This is what John, the one who was laying on the Lord's breast, on His chest as they were reclining to eat. The one that's called the beloved disciple. The one who in His gospel speaks so frequently of love. He says, you're a liar. The truth's not in you if you do not keep His commandments. And so, what does that mean? Well, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to keep His commandments. He commands things. It's not just a suggestion. Some of the things that He says are absolutely commands. And one of them is, do not fear those who can kill the body. God always instructed obedience. And He always instructed His people not to fear. I am with you. You're going into this land. They're not going to like you. They're going to fight you. But do not fear. I am with you. And see, all of us have Christ in us. If in fact we are born again, if we are renewed, if we are transformed, if in fact we have been those who have received that sacrifice of Christ. We've been brought into the family. God is with us. Fear is the opposite of faith. Sometimes it's unnatural. Sometimes it's just unnatural, irrational. And I have met people who are overcome with fear. Completely overrun with it. In a panic state all the time. Other times there's natural fears. The natural fear of stepping on ice and slipping, for example. And this warm weather doesn't make you think of ice, does it? Maybe that cool thought will help cool you down since our air conditioning's not working. But Bob and Judy are used to 100 degree temperatures. I'd still like to have a little AC, I'm sure. Fear is manufactured by the enemy of souls through his agents. And some of his agents are dwelling within or influencing people. And some of those people will influence us to be afraid. But he says, be not afraid. Do not fear. Do not fear. The enemy does this as a way to slow the gospel from moving forward. He does this to immobilize the troops, to stop those people that God has called into service in sharing the good news. If Bob and Judy had frozen in fear, they would never have given themselves over to preaching the gospel. They wouldn't have gone into Central America. It wouldn't have happened. Would not have happened. God shows mercy to those who love Him and keep His commandments. That's what's written in the 20th chapter of Exodus. So if we want the mercy of God, and His mercy endures forever, He tells us that repeatedly in His Word, God's mercy endures forever. God's mercy endures forever. If we want His mercy, what does His Word say? He shows mercy to those who love Him and keep His commandments. And so why would we want to do anything against what would bring blessing to us? God calls you into service, and our Lord has sent each and every one of us. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Show them and teach them what I've shown and taught you. But sadly, there's many that are failing to keep His commandments. It's not their normal practice anymore. In fact, there are those who preach and teach that we don't have to follow commandments. Because we've got the Holy Spirit. So we can do whatever we want. I've heard preachers say, go out and send it up and then tell God you're sorry. I've heard that with my own ears. And I've repeated that in this congregation many times in this building. Because I want you to understand that's not where I'm at. I'm not one that's going to tell you to go send it up. I'm going to tell you to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit who will lead you to do what it is that pleases Almighty God. And that's what I want for all of you. I want you to say yes to Jesus. Say yes to the Holy Spirit. Say yes to your Creator who wants nothing but the best for you. Say yes. And as I've said before, it's easy for us to think that we do say yes. It's easy for us to think that we do obey the commandments of God. It's easy for us to say, hey, you know what? I'm born again. I said a little prayer once upon a time. I got a card in my pocket that tells me and reminds me. I've got it right there. I'm going to heaven, buddy. And I've heard people say, hey, I said a prayer. I said, you're not living a repentant life. How do you think that you have something that you don't have? You are, of all people, most deluded. Because the Word doesn't share with us that image of freedom to sin. It's freedom from sin. That's the concept of holiness. We are made holy in His image because He dwells within us. The sinless one enables us to overpower the temptation that would lead us into sin. We're led out of it. We're led out of that temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus taught us to pray. Today we're going to see some more ways that we say no to our Lord. But more importantly, we're going to see ways that we can say yes. Yes. We can say yes to the Lord. I want you to open your Bible to the 10th chapter of Matthew's gospel record. You'll find that on page 1505 in your Bibles there in the seats if you didn't bring one with you. Page 1505 or 1505, Matthew chapter 10. And this is where we hear Jesus teaching. He's teaching His disciples to go out there. He's teaching them what it is that they need to understand about sharing the good news. We're going to begin at verse 16. We're going to read through verse 33. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 16. And I want you to hear what's written there. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. You know, wolves eat sheep, right? You get that, right? You get the imagery there? Okay. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. Do you hear another command there? Do not worry about what you're going to say. But, he says, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. You don't have to prepare what you're going to say when somebody accuses you of something whenever you're preaching the gospel. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. He's telling you right there. Don't be afraid of them. Okay? Now, verse 21. Brother will deliver up brother to death. Last week we talked about loving our enemies. He said even members of our own family will hate us. He said fathers, child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. How's that? This is Jesus, the one that God sent with love to bring redemption to the world. He says, you're going to be hated. But don't be afraid. Your own family's going to hate you. But don't be afraid. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher. Be like your teacher. Who's your teacher? Christ is your teacher. And it's enough that a servant be like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, in other words, they're calling him the devil, calling him Hasatan, Satan, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them. Do not fear them. Do not fear them. Do you get that? This is Jesus talking. They're going to call you the devil. He said, don't fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nothing hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And whatever you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that was the text that I chose for this message today. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. I pray that God would bring his blessing upon the reading and hearing of his word. Father, we ask that you would guide us in our listening today, that you would open our ears to hear, that you would open our eyes to see spiritually, Father, that we would recognize how we might have or perhaps are saying no, and instead change it up and say yes. I pray this in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Yours truly started ministering at a young age. There was a man named Joseph Harper. Joseph was a street preacher at the time. And Joe was preaching in a back alley in the Brookline section of Pittsburgh, where I lived at the time. I was walking my dog, and Joe saw me walking my dog. He said, you, over here, sit down. If Joe's watching, he'll remember this, I'm sure. So I sat down, there was a little log there, and a couple other kids that were sitting there, and Joe was preaching to them. He preached Jesus. He preached to these inner city kids who were lost without Christ. Some had attended church services all of their life, but didn't know the one that saved souls. We weren't introduced to him. And Joe introduced us to him. Now, I had spoken with God from a young age. I knew that I was going to be working for Him. I didn't know what that looked like. Having been raised in the church that I was, I thought that I'd be serving in that denomination. But God said no. He had other plans. Anyway, Joe had to say a prayer. We said that prayer. And then we started to attend meetings, and we started to attend prayer gatherings, and we started to do street ministry. Literally speaking on the streets to people, walking up to complete strangers. Oh, does that make you cringe right now? Are you feeling a little fear in your heart? Complete strangers. And we say, hey, do you know Jesus? Or we'd tell them, Jesus saves. He's the one that saves souls. One time, Joe and I, we were in high school. Joe was a year or two ahead of me. And we decided to get up on a table in the cafeteria. Back to back. Joe was on one side, I was on the other, and we started preaching the whole counsel of God's Word. Right there in the high school. Had our Bibles with us, and we were preaching the glory of God. We were preaching the love of God, but we were also preaching that other side of the gospel that many people want to ignore today, and that's that God does bring His wrath upon those who are disobedient. There was a school security guard. I don't remember his first name, but his last name was Zuko, and we all called him Zuko. Big, bulky kind of a guy. You know, looked like a football player. Zuko stood at the door, didn't stop us, didn't make us get off the table. He was concerned there might be a food fight and we'd be the source of it, and maybe even the recipients. Zuko kind of kept the peace there. And I guess there were other security guards, but I only remember him. And we preached, and I don't know how long. I don't remember. There was another time. We were walking on a walk, a fundraising walk for an organization that I won't name. And about the 20th mile in, there was a church, was a stop. And we stopped at that church. It wasn't a Catholic church. It might have been a Lutheran church. I'm not sure. It was in the Oakland section of Pittsburgh. And I was impressed by the Holy Spirit to ask the guy with the collar, because I knew from my upbringing that the guy with the collar, he was the head guy. So you talk to him if you wanted to do something, you know. And if I walked up to this guy and I said, would you mind if I addressed this group of people? I was about 15 or 16 years old. And he looked at me kind of puzzled and he said, no, sure, go ahead. And so I got up in the pulpit and I started preaching the gospel. The words of Christ. Okay? And then Joe Harper come up and he joined me, and there we were preaching side by side to this room full of people. They had no idea who we are. Some of them maybe knew us from walking with us. But we preached the Word right there. That's my first time that I remember being in a pulpit, by the way. But we didn't fear. We did not fear what they would do to us. We did not fear what they would say. We didn't fear what they would think. What we feared was Almighty God, because He had bought souls and we were there to introduce them to Him and His Son that paid the price for their sin so that they wouldn't suffer eternal punishment. But it was all for God's glory. We didn't fear. Do I fear now? Oh, there's times when I do. I've had some pretty harsh circumstances. Your Bob was saying going into the jungles. I've never done that. Well, I have been in Pittsburgh preaching. That can be quite a jungle sometimes. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you heed His moving, His urging, it gets stronger. It doesn't get weaker. When you put up your hand and say, no, I don't, that's not me. That's not for me. That's for somebody else. That's not for me. I'm not the preacher. That guy's the preacher, the one up in the front. No. The Holy Spirit, that still small voice that's within you that each and every one of us who have been born again have, that voice that's within us will continue to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Every time you put up your hand, every time you stop up your ears, every time you ignore that still small voice, regardless of the reason, but most often it's because of fear. What will they think of me? What will they say about me? What if they don't like me? What's the matter? It's not about them. And it's not about you. It's all about Him getting what He bought and paid for. And we've got to get that really figured out, folks, because so much of modern evangelism is all about, we've got to save those poor sinners from hell. We've got to save those poor sinners from their sins. Well, you know, that's part of it. But the big picture is God bought those souls. And He deserves to get what He bought. And He's commissioned me and each and every one of you and all who have come to know Him by His Son. We are commissioned in His troops to go into that world. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they feel or how they try to make us feel. What matters is that He gets what He bought and paid for. That's the truth of it. Be not afraid, He said. Do not fear those who can kill the body. You know, there's brothers and sisters all over this world who are suffering because of their faith. And there's many that are dying. We don't have people dying here for their faith. Oh, there's people that are suffering. There's no doubt about that. We don't water down the gospel. We give the whole counsel of God. We use His Word as our guide. Jesus said, go. We're to go. We need to give the wandering, weary people the good news. We need to bring them into the presence of Almighty God by His Word. Unfortunately, even though I was fearless, I encountered a priest who didn't think I should be preaching. And because of that situation, because of his hands around my throat, I got angry. And I quit. I said, no more. If that's your people, God, I'm not working for you. I was angry. I wasn't afraid. And you know, the Holy Spirit stayed with me. The Holy Spirit gave me strength. The Holy Spirit maintained that fearlessness in me. I had no fear. I could go anywhere. It didn't matter where, and I won't go into all the seedy places that I've been, but I could go anywhere. So I know if the Lord calls me into any kind of ministry that may have danger involved, it won't be a problem. Because I know from my former life, after walking with the Lord and preaching for the Lord and teaching for the Lord, I know I didn't have fear. The Holy Spirit takes it away. And all you have to do is surrender to Him. Here, Lord, take me, use me. I'm yours. I don't want to be afraid. I want to be bold. I want to proclaim your truth. I want to be your person, your man, your woman. I want to be you to the world. That's not hard. You look at Bob and Judy. They were retired. And they wanted to be retired. They were happy being retired. They weren't looking to go into South America. They weren't looking to go into Central America. They were looking to live out their days like so many of us. Fear Him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's our Lord speaking. And there's so many that say, oh, no, no, fear's not of God. Wait a minute. He said, fear Him, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. If Almighty God were standing right there in front of you and said, okay, it's your turn, you got to go. You see that lady over there? You need to speak to her. You see that guy over there? You need to talk to him. Would you do it? Or would you say, oh no, Lord, I can't. It'll upset them. I can't. I don't want to upset them. They won't like me. That's my boss. He's liable to fire me. I don't know. Jesus said, do it. He said, go. The Holy Spirit instills boldness to proclaim God's Word. And that's what I want to pass on to you. I want each of you who hear this message, I want each of you who receive these words, I want you to have that Holy Spirit-fired boldness. I want you to be able to go out there. I want you to be able to stand fearlessly before anyone to say, yes, this is the one who saved me. This is the one who took away my sins. This is the one who can save you. This is the one who will take away your sins. This is the one who will save you from everlasting destruction, because that is what's proclaimed in the Word of God. This is the one who brings glory to Almighty God with each soul that's brought into His kingdom. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is Yeshua, the Son of the living God. This is the one that you need, just like I need. Do not fear those who can kill the body, but fear Him who after killing the body can cast both the body and soul into hell. I want you to know that He's with you if you've surrendered to Him. I want you to accept the commandment of Christ. Three times in that passage that we read, He commands His followers, do not fear. Three times. And that's an indisputable witness, okay? By the witness, the testimony of two or three witnesses is every word of God established. Three times He said it. That means it is indisputable. He wants you not to fear. Do not fear. Fear them not, He says in verse 26. Fear them not, He says in verse 28. Fear ye not. And He really intends for the receivers, you and I, to be not afraid. If you're walking, and I've done this, my children sometimes would shrink. Oh no, Dad's. But I would speak to people. And then years later, my daughter, she said, you know, Dad, I know why you did that now. She got married, was pregnant, and she was shunned by a lot of people because of her pregnancy. Motherhood's not honored in our nation anymore. And she said, Dad, I know why you did that now. Because I would walk up to pregnant women and I'd say, you know, you mind if I talk to you for a moment? Now, usually when I had my wife and children or one of my children, not alone because I don't want people to think I'm weird. And people don't take it wrong. You know what I mean? I mean sincerely to pray for someone, but I don't want to be seeming like I'm coming on to somebody. So I would walk up to them and say, you mind if I pray with you for a moment? And may I pray for your baby? And I'd pray for them. And I would congratulate them. And I would thank them for choosing life for their child. And my daughter thanked me, in a matter of speaking, for doing that. Because she recognized the importance that would have had in somebody's life whenever she was pregnant. Don't be afraid. That's what Jesus said. In chapter 10, there that we read, in the first part of that, verse 16 to 25, we hear our commander preparing his troops for battle. Spiritual battle. They're not going out with physical swords. They're going out with that word of God. That living sword. The two-edged sword. The one that's stuck in my lectern here that I can't pull out to use as an example. Come on out of there. Like, the sword. Okay. I'll leave that up here. He's preparing them to go out into the field. And He described physical things that would happen to them. For His name's sake. They're going to hate you, He said. Your family members are going to turn against you, He said. How many of us are willing to go out into the field to bring souls into God's kingdom knowing that our family members are going to turn against us? He said it would happen. He told them they'd be put on trial. He told them they'd be terrorized. They'd be shamed. He told them these things. This is going to happen, He said. Don't think it isn't. Don't think that it's not, because He said it will. And lots of passages of Scripture show us that as the time grows nearer, there'll be more of that. And you know what happens whenever there's persecution? The church grows. The kingdom of God is glorified. Not my kingdom, not your kingdom, God's kingdom. He foretold that they'd be humiliated. He said, you'll be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. That's pretty amazing. So He's telling them not to fear. Do not fear. Three times. And his message there, his words are related to taking the message to others. Don't fear taking the message to others. Wherever he leads you, whether it's in your neighborhood, your town, your city, your county, or it's another land, like Bob and Judy have been called to Central America. If God takes you, wherever he takes you, he'll keep you. And I don't mean keep you to stay. Don't get nervous now. He's not going to keep you in Central America. He'll keep using you there. But he'll take you and he'll use you as long as you surrender to him. Throw up your hands. God, it's all to your glory. You don't take the glory. Whatever it is, don't take the glory. That's a bad thing to do. No. It's all to his glory. People say, thank you for the message. I say, give God the glory. I accept your compliment, but I say, give God the glory. It's not me. Let me tell you, folks, it is not me. I'm not going to go into the depth of that because that's a whole other testimony. I'm not even supposed to be able to speak. He's telling them, not fear. Do not fear. And live up to your duty and responsibility to share the gospel. Do not fear as you're doing that. And every time that he says, okay, speak to them, or speak to them, or speak to them, and we say, we're saying no to Jesus. We're saying no. The most important thing for us to remember is that we've been enlisted in his battle force, and he gives us an armor to wear. And it fits. Unlike David, who put on Saul's armor and was, I can't fight in this thing. God's armor fits. Custom made. It is Christ. Did a whole series of messages about the armor of God one time, and in that series, I revealed through the Word of God that it is Christ who is our armor. We put on Christ, and Christ goes in. The one who is victorious, the King of all kings who is victorious, takes us into battle with him. He's out in front. He's the shield. He is the protector. He's the leader. He's the guide. We simply allow him to use us to his glory. The most important part of our battle gear is the Word of God. That's where we get everything else. Right there. The Holy Spirit will guide us. But right there is where we get everything. Everything. And that holy word of Almighty God introduces us to the battle, and it reinforces us for it. We have nothing to fear. When you leave here, I want you to recognize you have nothing to fear. If you are walking on His path with Him as your guide and Him as your guard and Him as your security, you have nothing to fear. Nothing. Doesn't matter what they do to your body. You have nothing to fear. God's Word instructs us in the words of Christ to be not afraid of those who can kill the body. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, he speaks of the unrighteous who will go away into everlasting punishment. We didn't read that far along, of course. Matthew 25, 46 talks about everlasting punishment. That's the unrighteous. And this is the hell that he's referring to in the passage that we did read. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but they can't put you in hell. Be afraid of the one who can. And somebody said one time, God doesn't throw souls in hell. I said, well, you're not reading your Bible. Because he says he does. I'm going with what he says. I don't know any better, I guess. I don't have all this highfalutin teaching. I've got the Word of God as my guide, with the Holy Spirit as my leader, Christ as my guard. I'm not going with all this man-made stuff. It doesn't work for me. The contrast there, though, yes, the unrighteous go into everlasting punishment, but the contrast, and this is the good news, the righteous go into life eternal. Woo! Praise God! We can share that good news! How do we become righteous? By Christ. How do we remain righteous? By Christ. And how do we do that? Submission. Yielding. Prophet David foretold long ago, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This was Daniel. Those who persecute believers are not to be feared. Doesn't matter. And everything in us physically rises up when we're under threat of persecution. It rises up and it would lead us into fear. But we have to remember, Jesus said, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. And if all you can do is repeat that, Jesus said, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them. Keep that going because you are going to answer to God for those souls that you did not respond to. He tells us that in His Word. This is why Paul repeatedly says, I have not shunned to proclaim to you the whole gospel and my hands are clean. Your blood is not on my hands. He said it multiple times. And if it didn't matter, Paul the Pharisee, who was the son of a Pharisee, who knew the Word of Almighty God better than any of us, he knew that it mattered. And he shared with the people that he preached to that it matters. We're to give them the whole counsel, not just the part that feels good, folks. And that part that doesn't feel good can make us feel a little bit of afraid because after all, people aren't going to like us or what are they going to say about us or what are they going to think about us or how are we going to pay the bills if we don't get this building filled up with people who are understanding the Word of God guides us to give? How are we going to do that, right? Oh, the fear's there. We could think all the things that the devil will put into our minds. But God says, preach the whole counsel. He doesn't say, just preach that fluffy part. And I've said this many times before. There was a lady here one time who said, your job is to make us feel good, Pastor. I said, no, it's not. You got that wrong. I'm sorry. My job is to preach the Word. I'm to preach. I'm to rebuke. I'm to reprove. And I'm to exhort. That's only one part. Making you feel good is only one part. And I want to exhort. I want to uplift. I want you to understand it's not one-sided, though. It's not all this fluffy bed of cake and ice cream that you get to live happily ever after on this side of eternity because that's not what Jesus preached. He said you'll be hated of all men for His name's sake. Your life is a testimony. And Jesus said so. When you're brought before kings and rulers, you're a testimony against them to Almighty God because you stood and you gave them the message. And God says, hey, you got the message. You rejected it. That's on you then. And it's not on those who give the message. It's on the one who rejected it. No wonder we call Jesus repeatedly warned about that place of everlasting punishment. I'm not going to go into that. He came to set sinners free from the punishment that we all had already earned. Why do I say earned? Well, let's see. He said, the wages of sin is death. We earned it. We earned it by our disobedience. We earned it through our rebellion. We earned what we had coming. We did not earn, and nor can we earn, the salvation that He alone can provide. In the 16th chapter of Luke, we hear Luke's record of Jesus telling of a certain rich man who lived in a life of luxury. I'm sure you've all heard it before. He contrasted this with the one who'd been begging for food. Came to the rich guy, oh, just give me the crumbs off your table, man. I'm hungry. Both died. And both went separate places. Rich man, it's written, Jesus told this, was in a place of torment. But this fellow named Lazarus, he was in the bosom of Abraham. He was in a place of peace. He was in a place of rest. And there was this great gulf fixed between them. So that one couldn't travel to the other. The guy that was in torment, he could not be rescued. There was no way out for him. In the 5th chapter of John, we hear our Lord teaching about the authority He received from the Father. And he also taught about the resurrection of the dead. He received all authority. All authority from the Father. He said, the dead shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There is a place of damnation, folks. And there are souls that will be put there. You're being called. You're being called to give them that life raft. You're being called to throw them the lifeline. You're being called to give them the medicine that they need. You all are being called. Now, some of us, maybe not physically able. Rosalie plays the piano for us. Rosalie's without sight. And I say for now, we trust that God can take that away. But He hasn't yet. But Rosalie could play the piano, and Rosalie could give of her substance that the Lord provides to her to help support a missionary that goes out there into the jungle. Or any place else for that matter. The Apostle Paul wrote, it's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It's a righteous thing with God to give tribulation back to those who give it to you. He's your guard. He's your guide. And it might not be on this side of eternity. And that's the part that makes it hard for us. Because after all, our lives matter to us. And we don't want to just throw them out there and give them up, right? We want to live our lives out for as long as the Lord will keep us here. Maybe, just maybe, some of us will face persecution to such a degree that the Lord will take us home. I know that there are people all over the world that this is happening to. Even as this great revival is taking place and souls are coming into the kingdom, there are those who are being punished for their faith. Paul goes on to say, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, He'll take vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the other side. Yes, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. But those who don't believe, and there's long lists of people who don't believe, because their actions show that they don't believe. The abominable. Those who are completely contrary to the Word of God. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. That's what's written. And we have to share that part too. So when you go out, when you share the good news of God loving the world so much and sending His Son, you have to tell them why. Because they're in danger of everlasting punishment. He's the only one to be feared. He's the only one to be revered. He's the only one to be honored. Not those who oppose you. And how do we say no? By fearing what people will say or do to us for sharing the gospel. It's simple, folks. Every time we ignore the Holy Spirit's prompting, because of fear, we're saying no to Jesus. Every time we silence that still small voice that prompts us to tell somebody the good news, we're saying no. Like an obstinate child. No! I will not! I have a reputation to uphold. What will people think of me after all? When we permit the enemy of souls to trick us into walking away without telling people the good news, we're saying no. Every time we allow ourselves to fear what people might do to us or how they might react, we're saying no. Anytime we give a lopsided message that speaks only of the pleasant things, we're saying no to Jesus. Because He didn't do that. He said, go out and preach. Everything He taught. And there's so many today that won't. They're not. I listen to a lot of sermons, folks. I listen to sermons all the time. I want to hear what's being preached. I want to know what's contemporary. And the things that I hear sometimes, just I got to turn it off. I can't even listen to it. When we avoid sharing His warnings of a literal place of torment, where the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, are sent, whenever we do that, we're saying no to Jesus. We're the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part. We say no to Jesus. When we refuse to warn others, even our enemies, that they're heading for that lake which burns with fire and brimstone, we're saying no to Jesus. The good news of His message is that He paid the price. And whosoever will may accept His offer. Present it to them. This is His offer. He'll take you. He'll transform you. He'll remake you. He'll reform you. Just say yes. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Yeshua, God's Messiah. Say yes. Say yes to sharing His message of God's love and God's judgment. It's not a one-sided thing. It's a balance. We've got to share the whole picture. As I wrap this up, I want you to say yes by maintaining fearlessness. I want you to be bold witnesses for Christ. I want you to be fearless. I want you to walk in the Holy Spirit's power. I want you to be able to bring the message of Christ to a lost and dying world. That's what I want you to do. It's not just me. God wants you to do that. He wants you to say yes. Here's His message. Don't hide a piece behind your back, because it won't feel good to people. Give them the whole message. Because without the bad news, there's no good news. Christ came to save sinners. He was obedient to the death, even the death on the cross. And so we can't just share the part that feels good with people. We have to share the whole picture, whether they like it or not. And say yes. Because He wants you to bring souls into His kingdom. You've been commissioned. And if nobody ever told you that before, I'm sorry. But you have been commissioned. You've been enlisted. You've signed up when you said yes. You said it in a little prayer. Or you said it wholeheartedly. Down on your face, weeping before Almighty God over the sin that you have sinned against Him. You have to right now make a decision in your mind that you're going to say yes to Him for the rest of your lives. As this revival that Bob's talking about comes and starts waving through the world, God's going to be picking His people. He's going to be taking you to use you. You, wherever you are. Now, Bob isn't going to be in Shakora, Pennsylvania. Bob's not going to be in different places in Ohio where the Spirit of God maybe hasn't moved in a long time. But as God's Spirit rolls through this land, we're going to see God's people stand up and say, yes, here am I, use me, send me. I will be fearless. I will not bow down to the fear. I will not be afraid. I will heed the words of Christ and I will be not afraid. And I'll share the good news. Because without you doing what you've been called to do, one soul might miss that call. And when you stand before Almighty God, He's going to ask you about that one. I've got a whole testimony on that too, which I'm not going to go into. I say yes. Say yes to Jesus. And know deep within your heart that you're doing all that you can. Maintain that fearlessness and go forward as His people doing His will. Thy will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You and You alone deserve the glory, that You give us the ability to speak, to teach, to preach, to do what it is that You have for us to do. That we could give maybe even a little bit more toward the support of the missionaries, Lord, that are going out into the world. To those who are going into the places that we can't or maybe we won't go. Help us, Father, to help in the spread of the gospel. Help us to say yes by overriding the fear that comes from the enemy. Help us to say yes by choosing love and loving others as He did sacrificially. As You did when You sent Your only begotten Son. Help us to say yes to our Lord by using every opportunity to invite others to receive Him and His sacrifice. Help us to say yes by fearlessly obeying His command to share the gospel. Help us to say yes by collecting the souls that You paid for, Father. Help us to say yes by accepting our commission to go into our corner of the world, sharing the message of Christ crucified. Help us to say yes by telling those who reject the word of the Lord, He also will reject them. Help us, Lord, to say yes by telling others that Your way is perfect. Help us to say yes by remembering that Your word is proven, that You are a shield to all who trust in You. Help us to say yes. Help us to hear what You have to say, and help us, Father, to go forth and do it. I pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen. All right, now we are going to sing. What is it, Rosalie? What's the song? I didn't put it in my notes here. It's not a number. We don't have a number. We're going to sing it by your lead. This is the day that the Lord has made. If you can stand. Please stand if you can.